We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition, the Tuesday, August 10th edition of the RotoWire NFL podcast, brought to you by WinBet. I'm Joe Bartle, and as always, alongside me on Tuesdays here is Jake Litarski. You can follow me at JB Fantasy Sports, Jake at Roto Jake. Obviously, today's headline, right, our draft day dilemmas. We've had a couple of different drafts start at the RotoWire office itself. We had my Beat Joe Bartle NFFC draft take place last night, and my Twitter teaser actually seemed to work. People were relatively interested in the office. Jake was just frothing at the mouth to go ahead and see what we're talking about there. Before we do that, though, we're going to get a little bit of a breakdown on the training camp news and notes that have occurred over the past 2 days, and there's a bit of action to go there. So without further ado, I just want to start out and say, Jake, how's it going today? Like, which are you excited for this podcast as I am? I know it's going to be talking about myself a lot, so I know you're really excited about that part.
Yeah, you know, we're going to cover a lot of audiences today. We're going to do a lot of news because, you know, Jeff had a guest on yesterday, so we'll try to run through more of the weekend's camp news, get into a little bit. Yeah, I know there's some preseason DFS degenerates out there that might care about who's starting and whatnot, so we can do this in quick hitter form. And then, yeah, I noted a couple of draft day dilemmas, one that a lot of you guys might have out there, one a little more, you know, a little more specific that we can talk about the rookie wide receiver class a little bit and also tie into some other camp news. So it all brings together, and we can even talk about your fantasy league a little bit, especially given the first round that you said you had. I caught a peek of it, and he's like, no, he turns his computer away, and I saw the third overall pick. He's like, no. You have to do a live reaction. Exactly, you have to do a live reaction on the show. So I guess that's what it's going to be. We're going to give it a live reaction and see what happens. Hope for the best.
Cool. All right. Before we get to the news and notes, let's get a word from our sponsors, WinBet, who, of course, are sponsoring this podcast. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions. And even with more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBook is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast, and WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, and live betting, and really so much more at your fingertips. If you want a break from sports betting, you can head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on the roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or even try our hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet, WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. All right, so let's get to this news in action that's occurred over the last 2 days, starting first with Saquon Barkley activated from the PUP list. The expectation seems to be that he'll be ready for week one, although an Ian Rappaport report from this weekend said at latest it could be week three. I think his ADP has kind of fallen somewhere in that 6 to 12 range, and until we get a solid date, I imagine there's going to be a lot of ambiguity with him. But what's your thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, again, we'll try to keep this to quick hitters. I'm warming up to the idea of Saquon Barkley. I'm starting to like the idea that I can maybe find him early in the second round. I'm not really ready to go up past, let's say, 8 in the draft right now, just yet. I would need some more positive news to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm I think I'm with you on that one. Again, we'll have a few drafts mm-hmm. that we went over the past couple days that we
he
can.
Does. I want to add one more thing. He does seem to me, you know, you scroll through the Instagram and you see the media around him. He looks like he's one of those crazy physical freak of nature athletes, similar to Adrian Peterson. We saw what happened to Adrian Peterson. He can bounce back from that injury. Barkley's young enough that he could do it. And I'm telling myself that to warm up to this idea and warm up to maybe sneaking him at the end of the first round. But I haven't quite put my money where my mouth is on that yet.
People who are just listening to the podcast and not watching the YouTube version, shame on you guys. First off, but you're missing my like little grin that I have going on. So your analysis is based off of Saquon Barkley Instagram pictures.
Oh, yes. Yeah, wow. Of course, dude, he is jacked. Hey, I guarantee you looked at AJ Dillon's quad pictures last offseason and got real excited for
how
the Packers, right?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Quadzilla, right? Saquon Barkley is not that far off. That dude is jacked. He looks like he's ready to go. And not like professional athletes are ever going to be in too bad a shape unless you're like
Ben Roethlisberger disagrees.
Unless, hey, Ben Roethlisberger's looking a little trim now, by the way. He came into camp. He looked on the sidelines of those games. You know, he looks like he's maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
you and I look just as trim as Ben Roethlisberger. Congrats to us.
Okay. I don't really want to be compared to him in any way, but yeah, we can move on. Well, anyway, the point being is Saquon Barkley, even with the knee injury, the legs look to be in tremendous physical shape, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. I'll take your word and your Instagram knowledge on this with Saquon Barkley. Let's move over to Anthony Firkser. Evidently could have been knocked down in the depth chart by Jeff Swaim, of all people. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Right. Jonnu Smith obviously moved over to the Patriots, was the top tight end for the Titans. A lot of people, myself included, have been thinking Anthony Firkser is the top guy, and maybe behind Julio Jones will be the third passing option for the Titans. Well, that's not the case early on. At least that's what you've been seeing, Jake.
Yeah, so we got an email to our customer support this morning asking, "Well, where's Jeff Swaim in your software or your app?" And I'm laughing and I'm thinking, "Ah, Jeff Swaim." It reminds me of the guy that like 6 years ago was like, "Why isn't Mr. Brady Quinn projected?" He's a except he was a fourth stringer, barely making a team. And in my head, I'm thinking that, but then I looked and I'm like, "Oh, geez, they actually released the depth chart, and Jeff Swaim is somehow on top of that depth chart." And so I didn't see that one coming. Obviously, I'm not drafting Jeff Swaim for the heck of it, but or in any league or in any matter. I mean, two tight end league, last pick of the draft, we can probably do something along those lines. But I don't know. This doesn't change a whole lot. Firkser, I just checked his 2-week ADP is down to tight end 23. So you can pretty much give him, you can get him for nothing too, you know, at this point, especially in single tight end leagues. He's going to be left out there available. So he might be an early watch, this guy. I don't know. My strategy with tight ends is always grab one of the top three if I can, otherwise just punt it. So if I'm just punting it, you know, maybe I'll snag him at the end. But if I'm grabbing one of the top three, I'm not picking up the backup tight end until I need him.
Jake, you're spoiling my NFFC draft. What are you doing? That's the strategy I applied.
I swear I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it at all yet. So this
how
is
can I
be,
do a live reaction?
This is going to be a full on reaction. You dropped the screenshot at the very, very bottom of our document.
Yeah,
so.
just to hide for you. I agree with you. And Anthony Firkser, if I was to be drafting a tight end in that range, has always been my tight end two or tight end three. And I think still at that price, it makes sense. The Chargers, for example, listed Justin Jackson as their backup behind Austin Eckler. That means Joshua Kelly, their fourth round pick last year, is like third or fourth in the depth chart. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I think in some ways these early depth chart releases are meant to ignite a fire in some of these players. And maybe Anthony Firkser is that guy. And you could go another way with this, especially at tight end. Sometimes these teams like to use blocking specialists in particular or something like that. I'm not sure Jeff Swaim necessarily fits that category, but I'm not moved off from Anthony Firkser yet just because of 1 week with the depth chart release. That's
yeah. If anything in a 14 teamer, you can get him in the last round, basically, and that's probably a good thing for you.
Yeah. Jacob Eason and Ellinger. Is it Sam Ellinger? I'm doing it without memory. Sam Ellinger, right?
I've got Sam Ellinger, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Jacob Eason and Sam Ellinger are actually sharing reps in Indy, and this follows a tumultuous last week where Jacob Eason more or less failed in his first-team rep opportunities. I think you look at some of the comments that Frank Reich made, I think on the Thursday or Friday practice that I was watching, or at least watching the beat of it. And he was kind of suggesting, we don't want to move off Jacob Eason yet as the starter, but Ellinger's been doing enough where it's possible that he should be considered in that capacity. Sure enough, we see them start to split first team reps. Mm-hmm. At this point with the Colts quarterback situation, it's a difficult endeavor to really find any fantasy value out of it, whether it's Carson Wentz and waiting for him or Eason, maybe getting three or four rounds Ellinger too. I like, it's a whole stay away scenario. And you mentioned it a couple podcasts ago with T.Y. Hilton as one of your fades. I mean, I think you're still in that direction, even if it's Ellinger at quarterback instead of Eason.
Yeah. Whoever, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. I might take a little bit of a Michael Pittman discount in a deeper league. And of course I've got him in a dynasty league that I'm happy about, at least the long-term outlook, but they're not sticking with this, are they? I mean, they're going to trade for Nick Foles or sign somebody. I don't think you can roll into week one with either of those guys as your starting quarterback. So this is a borderline. If you were drafting this week, do you even take either of them in a two quarterback or a super flex league? I don't think you really can. There's backups that are going to be better. Like, you take Trey Lance before either of those guys.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah. You know, granted, that's the first one on the list. But like, you're taking backups before those guys.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo, you think is the presumed starter at that point too. And there's a few scenarios. I think in a two QB league that you're like 12 or 14 teams, you can make a case for Ellinger. I actually think Ellinger has more upside than Eason does. And it's mainly based off of the type of comments that we've been seeing out of the Indianapolis camp right now, where they are just. They're just unloading, it feels like, on Eason as a guy that is not even capable of being a backup, much less a starter. That's at least the reports I've seen. So we'll kind of have to monitor it. This preseason is going to be huge for the Colts quarterback situation, because you're right. You would imagine they're going to go ahead and acquire a veteran or something to that effect. But if there are none available and that roulette of quarterbacks really happened early in the offseason, you might be stuck with an Ellinger and Eason. And if that's the case, in a deeper 2QB format, you might have to go that direction. But again, we'll have to see.
Very rough.
No Aaron Rodgers in the preseason. I guess that's not surprising. Probably one of his demands that that he made with the Packers when he decided to join. I don't think he's been in the preseason the last couple of years any more than a drive or two. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm skimming the headlines and jotting stuff down. And that's one of them that, made our top news, which is, I guess that's good, because that means there haven't been any serious major injuries here as I hammer on this wooden table. But no, I mean, I don't want to see him play the preseason. He has absolutely nothing to gain. So
I completely agree with you on that.
It's really a non-story.
J.K. Dobbins listed as a co-starter with Gus Edwards for the preseason game one. Mm-hmm. Also not surprising. You and I have been pretty famously, and I say that in air quotes, famously, been doing board bets with Culver's rewards on the line for a number of years. I actually broke the Culver's board bet streak already to start the year with one of our good colleagues and a friend of mine, Harry, who's on the tech team over here, and also stupidly smart, unfair smart, really, it feels like. And I said, I think J.K. Dobbins will have more rushing yards than Ezekiel Elliott at the end of the year. I'm kind of walking that back a little bit now, because it looks like Zeke is actually in good shape and everything else like that. But no, I think if Dobbins plays the entire season and Zeke plays the entire season, that offense is perfectly suited for Dobbins to go off. And as a mid-second round pick, where his current ADP is, I will gladly take Dobbins if I want a running back. That's a different question if you want a running back in the second round, but I love Dobbins for his value. Are you as high on Dobbins as I am?
Yeah, you said mid-second round. You're going to love where I got him in the RotoWire Invitational.
No, don't tell me.
We're going to talk about that. I actually had a tough dilemma, and that'll be one of our first dilemmas that we get to a little bit later on in the show. So I'll tell you how much I love J.K. Dobbins. Maybe 10, 15 minutes here. We'll see.
Okay. All right. We have Kenny Galladay still sidelined with his hamstring injury. Makes complete sense, since the timeline was about 2 to 3 weeks since he suffered the injury. He should be available for week one. I'm completely out, though, on Kenny Galladay as is. I think Daniel Jones as a quarterback makes me a little bit concerned. Mm-hmm. That offensive line has not improved dramatically, and I think the Giants' offense as a whole isn't really a functional one right now, and that makes me concerned with Saquon Barkley, too, which is why I'm more like later in the first.
Galladay just went in the sixth round. Okay, sure. I'm glad that you pushed another good player back towards me coming back, I guess. Yeah, I'm pretty out on him. I mean, there's a ceiling there, I suppose. He is what I would consider is a good player, but the circumstances are just awful. And I believe it's some kind of soft tissue injury. We say he's going to be back for week one. Mm-hmm. Then what happens when we see LP or DNP, DNP, LP questionable out, and then that thing drags on to week two and week three. And I'm not so in. I'm out on most of that. I'll take Barkley if the price falls, but the rest of that offense, not so much.
Yeah, here's a brutal injury concern for me, and it's actually Galladay's former team. DeAndre Swift, obviously star running back for the Lions, has missed quote-unquote significant practice time with a groin injury. So there's a number of levels to concern here, and I think first, obviously, is, hey, this is a guy that had injury issues in college, was injured at times last season, his rookie year, now begins his preseason injured. We also have the Anthony Lynn effect, and I think anybody who's followed the Chargers in past years know how defunct Anthony Lynn tends to be with his offense. And we've already heard reports about Jamal Williams being a 1A to Swift's 1B or vice versa. Just any sort of situation where Jamal Williams is going to be a factor makes me concerned when you're missing time for DeAndre Swift. That being said, like one of the questions I have in the chat right now from Jeff Whiteley is that, hey, who's one of the guys that you're drafting in just about every league? It's tough to say as a third round ADP, which is Swift currently, that yes, I'm going to get him all the time. In fact, in the RotoWire Invitational, I missed him because Chris List took him in the third round. If I have an opportunity, if Swift falls to my pick, I will take him every single time in a full point PPR league. I love the fact that he, besides TJ Hockenson, there's nobody underneath from that passing game for the Lions. And I think the Lions might win three games all year. And if that's the case, they're passing a lot, which means Swift could get 60, 70 catches this season. He is one of my favorite values right now. And the fact that he's missing significant practice time, I think actually only helps ADP, and it's going to hopefully make him fall further.
Yeah, I'm not quite as high on Swift as you are. I think I need to see a significant discount. I don't like the team situation. And I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about Williams sneaking up in there and getting, you know.
Wow, you've watched 30 catches. You know he's not that good.
He's a decent pass catcher, and he'll spell him. I don't think we're going to see Swift as the surefire workhorse that a lot of people think that we are. But, you know, if he's down to like, what did you say, the fourth round?
Yeah, well, he's in the third round currently, and with this missing significant practice time, he could fall to the fourth.
The fourth round, depending on my running back landscape. I know if we're going back to our show where we wanted to say one of my draft dues, right, is take two running backs in the first four picks. I'm not about, you know, you don't want to get too married to any strategy, but I'm definitely not about the zero RB strategy this year. And so I could see a fourth round pick slip, and, you know, I could maybe live with that, but. I don't know. He's not someone I'm targeting aggressively. It just has to be the right circumstances.
A couple of wide receivers that have been on the PUP list or off the PUP list. We have Curtis Samuel first shifting to the PUP list. He was on the reserve COVID-19 one, of course, because Washington seems to be one of those teams. Came off of that one and now is transitioned back onto the PUP he was before with that groin injury. There's some concern that he still hasn't practiced yet with his new team. However, Coach Ron Rivera has downplayed that, suggesting he's got plenty of time working with Scott Turner in Carolina the past 2 years as kind of a precursor to that offense. Makes me feel a little bit better. Actually, as a spoiler of sorts, I did take Curtis Samuel as my wide receiver, I think 5 in the NFFC draft last night. It was between him and Michael Thomas. And I actually think Curtis Samuel plays more games. And if it ends up being like 2 more games at minimum, then I think Curtis Samuel is going to outscore Michael Thomas. So if you are looking at some of these injured wide receivers later on in rounds 8 or 9 or 10, I think Curtis Samuel plays more, but we are getting closer and closer to that point where I have to be more concerned because obviously this PUP list designation is not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you go the last 2 weeks, Curtis Samuel is down at 98 overall in ADP. Yeah. That puts him just ahead of his teammate, Logan Thomas, Kenyon Drake, AJ Dillon, that puts him just behind Logan Thomas, Kenyon Drake, AJ Dillon, just ahead of Laviska Shenault, Brandon Cooks, and David Johnson here. So I want bad news to keep coming just so I can maybe snag him at a discount in PPR leagues.
Yeah. Again, as your wide receiver 4 or 5, it reminds me a lot of when you drafted Deebo Samuel as your wide receiver 6 or so last year. And obviously he missed the first 6 or 7 weeks, but was a reliable target once that occurred. I think Curtis Samuel will have a shorter timeline and will be equally important, especially in a full point passing offense. A full point scoring in that Washington passing offense. Let's go to Amari Cooper now off the PUP list. That's fantastic news, at least for him. I think it ends up kind of being a contract year for Amari Cooper of sorts. And we know Michael Gallup is also in a contract year. That Cowboys offense looks great. And so long as Amari Cooper is healthy, that's fantastic. It just ends up being, is Cooper going to be healthy? We've seen at times he's been injured, but I think he's never actually missed a game with the Cowboys. So it's a weird dilemma. Yeah, he's played back-to-back 16-game seasons with the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, we kind of talked about him a few weeks back ago as one of the possible fades at this price. Of course, it's good to see him get healthy. Maybe he'll get some preseason action, but I mean, there's no guarantee he's the number one receiver in that offense even. And CeeDee Lamb just continues to get steam and is getting really elevated up in his ADP. I'm going to check the 2 week number here. I've got tons of tabs up. But let's see, CeeDee Lamb is 34 overall in ADP. So he's up to a third round pick here. He's getting a ton of steam. You're right about the contracts. This is indeed a contract year for Michael Gallup, and this is also indeed a contract year for a no, it's not a contract year for Cooper.
I think it's more like the money he could be cut after this season. It's
oh, yeah, I got you. He's a $22 million cap hit after this season. So it's get out there, do or die for Amari Cooper here. That doesn't necessarily factor into the fantasy decision here. So we got Lamb up at 34, Cooper up at 41. I mean, people always end up falling back on a Cooper because he's the guy that they recognize. But obviously I agree with the ADP in that Lamb should be taken before Cooper in drafts.
Moving over to Najee Harris, obviously the first round running back for the Steelers is expected to get significant work. If you're out there playing DFS preseason week one, there you go. Now I'll say this, we were supposed to get significant work from Najee Harris to start the Hall of Fame preseason game. And he was out there for the first 18 of the 19 possible snaps. Didn't do a lot though, with his opportunities to 7 carries for 22 yards. I don't know what significant work in this means, like maybe the first quarter or first half. If it is the latter, if it is the first half, he probably is pretty significant value from a DFS perspective. I know you and I are both lower on Najee Harris than maybe some of the other colleagues in the fantasy industry out there. So I'm not exactly – like this isn't going to confirm or deny my opinions on Najee Harris. Yeah. I think that offensive line for the Steelers is the bigger concern and whether or not they can hold up against actual, you know I was going to say week one talent, but starter level talent, that will be the bigger concern for me.
I mean, his line in that first game was 7 carries for 22 yards, right? And I think you're going to see a lot with the Steelers this year. You're going to see a lot of 7 carries, 22 yards, first half lines for him behind that. Now, every day you see a new report about his athleticism out of camp. He's hurdling people and tackling drills. He's the next coming, the next great athlete. You know, that's all well and good, but if you can't get anybody to block for you, you're going to have a hard time. And, you know, maybe he can help himself by getting a good hold on the offense. Maybe his vision will adjust just fine to the NFL level, but it's just overall not as positive of a situation as I would have thought here. And he would have to probably go deep into the second round for me to start thinking about it.
Yeah, I think I would take, well, I'm definitely taking Swift over Harris. Okay. I'm taking Dobbins over Harris.
I don't think I've seen a draft yet where Swift has been,
I know,
taken before Harris.
I know. You haven't watched any of my drafts then yet.
Dobbins over Harris is something that I would probably consider. Are you on board with that?
Yep. Dobbins over, Swift over, and then I think this one's normal, but I would take Antonio Gibson over Harris
too. Yeah,
probably. ADPs are really close.
And Aaron Jones too, right?
Yeah, I would take Aaron Jones.
And Saquon?
Yes.
And Nick Chubb, and then all the obvious guys.
Nick Chubb, I'm taking top five if I can.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, we love Nick Chubb.
This is a pro Nick Chubb podcast.
We're a Chubb podcast, that's for sure.
All right, final news for the training camp edition here, or training camp last 2 days. Drew Lock is going to get the preseason game one start over Teddy Bridgewater. Now, of course, that means almost nothing when it comes to the actual week one stuff. Mm-hmm. But again, just a reminder, the Broncos have a pretty heated quarterback competition now that they're unable to pry away Aaron Rodgers from the Packers. Lock, obviously the incumbent and has struggled at times. Teddy Bridgewater, newcomer, a little bit less of a throw power of sorts, but there's a lot of weapons in Denver. And if they do end up hitting on the right quarterback, whether it is Bridgewater or Lock, there's an opportunity for them to be fantasy relevant, even in a one QB format, kind of as a QB two or even later. But certainly in two QB formats too, I think you can make a case for Lock being on our podcast quite a bit as the free agent edition of the RotoWire shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll definitely be a guy that we're going to talk about in the streaming section just about every week when we have good, again, provided he wins the job here. Now, he's got nasty weapons here. Sutton, Judy, Hamler's supposed to be good. Tim Patrick was serviceable last year.
Your boy Noah Fant.
I was just going to get to that. The one part of the Denver offense that I'm actually going to aggressively target is Noah Fant because, yeah, there were a couple of drops last year. He can fix that. He has got, he's got athleticism just as good or better than any NFL tight end. And if I'm not getting the big three of Kelce, Kittle, Waller, Noah Fant's the first guy I'm targeting later on in drafts.
Yeah, I think there's a good case for him to be made as one of those like tight end 6 through 10 range. He's the high upside play, whereas if you're looking for safer production, Logan Thomas fits that category, even a Dallas Goedert, although with Zach Ertz seemingly back with Philadelphia, maybe that does cut into his workload. That's probably a different conversation for a different day. So that does it for us in the training camp portion of this podcast. Ready game. We kind of covered both Monday and Tuesday news. There's going to be a lot of other action, I'm assuming, throughout the week as we kind of gear up for this first week of preseason action. Again, we're going to have NFL games now, or at least football games in general, until February, whether it be college or NFL. I'm excited about that. So good news all around if you are a football fan. Let's get a word from our sponsors, Dynasty Owner. Are you tired of the same old fantasy football leagues that get canceled after a year or so? If that's the case, Dynasty Owner has your back. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues for the 2021 season are forming right now. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office by incorporating a salary cap and real NFL player salaries for diehard fantasy football fans that want the real GM experience. Dynasty Owner adds a whole new level of strategy to the fantasy world. Are you worried that you won't be able to find anyone to play in your league with? Well, don't, because Dynasty Owner can help you fill your league with fantasy football enthusiasts like yourself. You won't have to worry about finding enough players, and you can choose to start a league, join an existing one, or purchase a team from a previous owner. If you're serious about joining the big leagues, go to DynastyOwner.com and start your dynasty today. We had the Dynasty Owner guys on, I think, last week, Wednesday, or 2 weeks ago, Wednesday, with Jeff. I'm in a Dynasty Owner league right now along with my colleague, Jerry Donabedian. I'm excited for that one. I have Lamar Jackson, who is going to be on, hopefully, one last year of a solid contract. Obviously, Josh Allen just got paid big money this weekend. Lamar and Baker are the next two up to go out of that class. We'll have to see. But it is a very challenging and rewarding experience, I think, from that. So let's get to the actual portion of our podcast, right? The draft day dilemmas. I had a few drafts at the NFFC. We have I have at least two slow drafts going right now. I think you have one too, Jake. But you kind of outlined a couple of different what would I do in these scenario things. And I think it's going to be an interesting one to kind of go through together, because I think we have obviously different opinions. Do you want to kind of give a
precursor for okay, so the first one I wrote down, I was drafting first overall, so I took McCaffrey first. Now, coming back for the next turn in a 12-team league, I had to pick two out of these three, and I narrowed it down to J.K. Dobbins, Kittle, and Justin Jefferson. So I don't know what's going to work great for this show format, but you tell me which two you think I should have taken, and I'll tell you which two that I did take.
Coming back from the second round.
Yeah, so my last pick of the second, first pick of the third round.
Okay, so if you're going to go 1-2. For me personally, we've talked about strategy-wise how we're making our lineups. J.K. Dobbins is the automatic one. Of those three, it's a pretty definitive point. I want at least one top-tier running back. Ideally, I've selected that in the first round. And then if the draft board breaks this way, Dobbins is a very clear running back too. And we've talked about the upside for Dobbins. I think he can outrush Ezekiel Elliott this season, especially if Lamar Jackson is healthy, and we anticipate he is now after his second stint with COVID. That will make things incredibly good for Dobbins overall. The Rashad Bateman news, which we didn't actually talk about, but Bateman, the first-round pick for the Ravens this year, left practice with a pretty sizable gimp after injuring his leg. He was one of the breakouts for the Ravens training camp.
Yeah, for our live show, we just got a news update to RotoWire on Bateman here. So I was going to save it for my second dilemma because I mentioned him in there.
Okay, all right. Well, sorry. Then we'll get there. But that's one of those scenarios where if the passing game could take even a slightly bigger step than we saw last year, which is obviously a pretty fallback year from his MVP season, that's going to be tremendous news for Dobbins. So I like him. And then it depends on what format. Like, okay, so I took Kittle in the third round in the NFFC. And I kind of forgot NFFC tends to fade tight ends a little bit more. You could have maybe had him in the fourth round. If that's the scenario, if I was aware of that, I would go with Justin Jefferson. But in most formats, especially for those out there, I think Kittle makes complete sense. Of those big three tight ends you mentioned, you're basically locking up one of the best ones in the league. And you're taking away a complicated factor in round 7 through 10, where you know you need to get a guy, but you don't know which one's going to be right and when you need to go ahead and aggressively get that guy, like your Noah Fant, Dallas Goedert, for example, Rob Gronkowski. I'm just avoiding that entirely if I can. I'll get Waller, I'll get TJ Hockenson, I'll get Kittle, and that takes that whole question mark area away from me.
Yep, so here's what I did and why. We'll run through this here a little bit. Of course, Dobbins was my main guy. Now, Swift entered the thought process a little bit, but that idea ended up getting tossed out. Yep. You're not going to take Swift over Dobbins. You know that.
I'll take them both. Give me all three.
Would you have taken Dobbins and Swift there and skipped Kittle and Jefferson? That's what you would have done? 100%. Even when you had Christian McCaffrey number one?
Yep. Sounds great to me.
I have a fantastic
team.
Okay, fair enough. You have fantastic running backs and the rest is going to hurt. But so what I did is, Swift kind of came out of my out of my rotation. Thought process there. Yeah. Yep. And I ended up going Dobbins for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. I'm not scared by this co-starter thing with Edwards. Like you said, it's just to motivate younger players or manage his workload, both of which I'm okay with the Ravens doing for now. Again, I like Dobbins. I think he can be a breakout player in this upcoming football season. Then it came down to Kittle or Jefferson, and I went with Kittle for a couple of reasons. One, Waller had been taken three picks before, and Kelsey went in the first round, right? So if I can get the last of a tier in a draft,
yeah,
I'm always going to do that because then the run can happen afterwards and we'll be okay. So I took him for that reason. Number one, I always want to get one of those top three tight ends. Number two, Jefferson had just went down with an AC joint shoulder injury in camp. Now it looks like he's going to come back in a couple of days. I don't necessarily know if that's going to change my mind, but being a little banged up like that, you know, I'd rather, again, we're almost a full month away from the season opener here. So, you know, we've got time. Maybe these injuries don't matter and I shouldn't put too much stake in that, but that swayed me off Jefferson a tiny bit. As well as the fact that, you know, counting ahead and looking in receivers, your game changing receivers last year, your Ridleys, your Diggs, those were all taken in the fourth and fifth rounds. So I was hoping that maybe I can strike lightning at the wide receiver position by letting it go for the first three rounds and coming back. And last but not least, listen, I'm not trying to make any kind of political statement here whatsoever here, but you've got Jefferson playing for the least vaccinated team in the league. And whether you believe in it or not, you know, that's, I guess, your prerogative. But the thing is they're more likely statistically to have some kind of shutdown or have an extra surprise bye week in there. So when you have really close decisions there, I'm generally going to fade Vikings and maybe a little Packer bias, just a little bit. But I try to be as unbiased as I can. I was almost going to take Jefferson. I thought about it really hard, but I ended up taking the last of the tier and getting my RB2, sticking to my guns of taking two running backs in the first four picks. And I'm really happy with how the team's turning out.
You poo-pooed my opinion on the COVID thing last week when I mentioned with Adam Thielen. So now you're on that train?
It hasn't gotten any better. I feel like
when was it going to get better? They're very staunch in that they're not going to take the vaccine, which fine.
I figured a handful of them would cave, and it just doesn't look like it's yeah.
Her cousin wants to walk around with plexiglass everywhere he goes. Why do you think it was going to change? Mm-hmm.
That is quite hilarious. I'm so happy as, you know, people in the Midwest here, everyone was all worried about the Aaron Rodgers story for the last couple months. Now there's another organization to laugh at, and it is the Vikings.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with that. I always, when that report surfaced, and again, for those not familiar, Kirk Cousins is pretty staunch in the fact that he's not going to take the vaccine. You mentioned it, Jake. We're not trying to be political on the show. I completely understand and agree with you on that one. But when that happens, you're going to have situations where that quarterback room is vulnerable to missing time, which we saw earlier in training camp. So when reporters came and questioned Kirk Cousins after he was off the reserve COVID list, I don't think he tested positive. One of the other people in the room did. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I'm just going to go ahead and walk around with plexiglass everywhere I can go. Or we'll go ahead and practice outside in 19 degree weather in Minnesota, mm-hmm. as opposed to getting the vaccine where I have to be indoors with people and everything else like that. And I pictured it like How I Met Your Mother. I'm not sure if you watched that show, Jake, or not. I feel like most of America has watched it, whether they liked it or not. Mm-hmm. And Ted Mosby for a long time was doing that Halloween thing where he's got the hanging Chad costume. And I'm just picturing plexiglass all over Kirk Cousins in that instance. Maybe it's not a good analogy, but that's always what I was.
No, it makes me think of the classic film with Jake Gyllenhaal, Bubble Boy, if anyone remembers that.
No, you've outdated me on that one.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. Just a terrible movie when he was starting off his career. And the premise is he walks around in a plastic bubble because, I don't know, he got some sickness or something along those lines.
There's easily a way you could make that movie in 2021 and it'd be a really meta thriller for sure.
They should just reboot but keep Jake Gyllenhaal. I think that'd be hilarious.
That'd be pretty good, especially after his comments about how he doesn't like shower or something like that. I think I saw that trending on Twitter the other day. Okay, you've got me off the rails.
We've gone off the rails. All right, come on, Jake. Let's bring it back in. You got a draft day dilemma, right, Joe?
No, I don't. I guess I had a draft day dilemma.
Did you have any big dilemmas in the NFFC draft last night? Yeah. We can do all mine, I guess, but
no. You know, I mean, it's true. So I forget at times that the NFFC format is a lot different than any other one, which makes it really compelling and really challenging. And that's why I love doing these drafts. Very thankful I got to do a Beat Joe Bartle league this year. But the conundrum ended up being that third to fourth round turn. So in the NFFC, it's third round reversal. Back end of the draft gets to pick once more. In hindsight, in NFFC, you could actually choose where you want to pick. In hindsight, I would have rather went picks 10, 11, 12. I had the second pick, which was fine. Get Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. I came back with DeAndre Swift at pick 24, which is okay. Joe Mixon was afterwards. Chris Carson was afterwards. Or sorry, not Carson. It was later on. But then the swing ends up, all right, do you want wide receiver? Do you want tight end? Or do you want to go quarterback or something else? And I ended up taking George Kittle in the third round, which is okay. The plan being, what do I do in the fourth round? David Montgomery ended up being my selection. I took three running backs within the first four picks. Guys afterwards, Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson. My thought was I'm going to zig really when everyone else seemed to be zagging. Most of the first 24 picks, 36 picks, ended up being wide receiver. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get three of the four best running backs that I possibly can for my draft spot and make it work. In hindsight, I ended up having to scramble for most of my draft to fill those wide receiver needs. I think I worked it out at the end. Guys like John Brown, Tyrell Williams, Christian Kirk were my wide receivers six through eight. And it was fine enough. But that conundrum ends up being David Montgomery, Chris Godwin, or even like a TJ Hockenson or Kyler Murray. What direction would you want to go there, Jake?
So can you say the options again? I'm trying to read this draft board and I'm looking at you and I'm looking at Kittle, which, you know, seemed logical to me, but can you give me the options one more time?
Yeah. So I'll go David, like this is what ended up happening. David Montgomery, Kyler Murray, like a Chase Claypool or a Miles Sanders. And Miles and David Montgomery, obviously two of the top four running backs, but that direction, how would you go in that fourth round into the fifth?
I'm out on Miles Sanders, I think. I'm worried about the offense just sputtering. I haven't heard many good things about Hurts. And I also just think that the way that team is ran, there'll be multiple running backs involved. And Sanders could be a threat to lose his job and end up being in that purgatory that we talked about where it's dead weight on your roster. Mm-hmm. You can't cut him. Nobody will trade him at his lowest price point ever. And you're just stuck here. So honestly, in the NFFC, I know Murray gets most of his points from rushing. And that's
NFFC
the biggest,
is 6 points per passing touchdown.
And NFFC is six points per passing touchdown. But I think you have to, again, know your format and go quarterback there. I think that would be my play with Murray because Claypool's all right, but he could be wide receiver three on his team. I'm looking at
What about Godwin? Like Montgomery, Godwin, or Murray?
I would probably rank them Murray, Godwin, Montgomery.
Okay, so you went completely the wrong direction. Yeah. I would have went wide receiver.
Well, because I'm going back to your thing. You ended up with Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Swift to start here, so
yeah,
I'm thinking you need receivers in this format. It's a three wide receiver, right?
Yes. Yep.
And you already got your two running backs, and now. I always try to draft for value in the first six, seven rounds here. I'm not necessarily worried about filling out my roster spot, but to get maybe tiered, you got quarterback tiers. Think of it this way. You got Mahomes in a tier by himself, right? Yep. And then it's the next set of guys. And I think Murray is in that tier to either get one of the last of the tier at quarterback and possibly start a quarterback run or just start solidifying the wide receiver before you commit to a running back in your flex spot every week. I think I would have gone probably the other direction there. And it's not necessarily anything that has to do with Montgomery. It's just more or less the structure of the team in general.
Okay. Well, one other point that I want to bring up with this. You talk about quarterback tiers. I agree with you. Where would you have Russell Wilson among that quarterback tier? Is he in a similar vein to Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or is he in the Rodgers – Tom Brady, I see around that range, Russell, and then maybe you could have like a Herbert too.
So if we got Mahomes number one, and then we go Allen, Murray, Lamar Jackson, I think could be their own tier.
Their tier. Okay. All right.
It's basically, you call it the rushing quarterback tier. I mean, they're going to be valuable for that reason.
Yeah, I agree.
And then in any order after that, you put Herbert, Prescott, Wilson, and Rodgers.
Yeah, I forgot.
That's your next tier. That's your tier three, I think. And that's how I organize those. So getting one of the last in the tier.
I ended up getting Russell Wilson in round eight, and I felt very happy with that. And then followed it up with a quarterback two.
Russell Wilson in round eight?
Round eight for Russell Wilson. Man. That's good value, right? Like
That is excellent value. Yeah. See, in the draft I was going to do, you know, a sneak peek ahead, I ended up taking Lockett. and was hoping to get Russell Wilson fall back to me in the sixth round. And this isn't even a in the sixth, seventh turn, right? I was going to take Wilson at that spot. And I wasn't even I was confident that he was going to get back. This isn't even a 6-point passing touchdown league, but Russell Wilson got taken in this league a couple picks before me with the 10th pick in the sixth round. So I missed out on pairing him up with Lockett. And now I'm going to be back to the drawing board when it's time here.
Yeah, it's not like I really target any specific quarterback, any of the Rodgers, Herberts, Wilsons, I'm fine with. Maybe it's the Stafford and Brady that I tend to avoid in that range. But I thought at that point it was tremendous value. And again, Lawrence followed up the quarterback too. I want to go back to your dilemma, though, that you have a number two draft dilemma. And this is actually probably more catered to the rookie and dynasty leagues. Am I right?
Yeah, this one will give us a little bit of a chance to talk about the rookie class and maybe give some sleepers possibly for deeper leagues here. So, of course, I won our inaugural Dynasty League last year, so I was stuck down with
the you have to just go ahead and throw it out there right away.
You know, we're just going to lead off with that.
There was no
money
in the line, Jay. Come on.
We did a little side bet for the playoffs here. You wouldn't know because you weren't there.
I was. So. I just got bounced the first round.
You just got bounced the first round. Okay. Fair enough. Anyway, though, that means I ended up with a 14th overall pick here. Some background. I've got Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry indefinitely, which I love for that league. And it was time to beef up the wide receiver position. I needed a surefire wide receiver. Jamar Chase surprisingly went number one overall. Devontae Smith was the next receiver taken, followed by Jalen Waddle and Elijah Moore. And then a lot of quarterbacks went in the first round too. There are premium on quarterbacks in this type of format when the rosters are so deep and you can keep quarterbacks indefinitely here. So with Chase, Smith, Waddle, and Moore all off the board, I had narrowed it down to three different players. One was Rashad Bateman, who was drafted in round one, 27 overall by the Ravens. Two was Rondale Moore, who was drafted in round two, 49th overall by the Cardinals. Three was Terrence Marshall, drafted in round two, 59 overall by the Panthers here. I'll give you a chance to guess what I did or say what I should have done, and then I'll give you my reasoning behind those three guys and why I took who I took.
Yeah, for those listening for this podcast, we did this draft back, I think, even before or directly after the NFL draft itself. So we have hindsight now to see Elijah Moore, you know, killing it with Jets camp. Rashad Bateman was looking great prior to this injury as well, too. Terrace Marshall's actually been a surprise standout for the Panthers as well, too. And a guy that I was upset I could not draft in the MFFC. He got sniped a few picks before. I would have went Bateman if I was you at the back end of that first round, I think, from a value perspective. And maybe it's the Big Ten bias, right? He came from Minnesota. We've seen him play a little bit more. That player, if there's an upside play out of those three wide receivers, I think it's Bateman who gives you the top echelon of wide receiver one territory.
Yeah. So just to kind of fill in on our teaser from earlier, Bateman is currently week to week with a groin injury. He left today's practice. So that's making it a little bit concerning for me. Obviously, I did not know about that back then. That didn't factor into the decision at all. I'm just kind of updating us here. He fell to the ground on a slant route and limped up to the sideline. Expected to be, quote, out a while, but not a crazy length of time. So that's going to fall his ADP in redraft leagues over the last couple weeks was, I still have it on all quarterbacks. Let's take a look. I was going to throw that. But anyway, his ADP was, I would be guessing, it's 146. So you're in barely cut line draftable territory, right? But anyway, here is my thought process on Bateman here. Not that he can't necessarily advance up the depth chart, but in my eyes, he is the fourth, maybe even the fifth, pass-catching option on a team that does not like to pass at all. This is one where the team context completely ruined it for me. Obviously, after winning last year, I know I can do it again. I have to think of the immediate future here as to who can be likely to contribute right away. So I ended up passing on Bateman. And looking at this Ravens depth chart, I'll just kind of give you a rundown here of where my thought process went. Marquise Goodwin, he could fall down the depth chart. That's entirely possible. Marquise Goodwin, that's not what I mean. I meant Marquise Brown. Apologies there. Marquise Brown, number one on the depth chart in theory until he kind of fizzles out at some point. Sammy Watkins is involved in that team. I don't know how involved he's going to be. In theory, Mark Andrews would be the third pass catching option on that team. And you could even argue, we both love J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins could be the fourth pass catching option on that team. So that would put Bateman down as, for at least the 2021 season, as the fifth pass catching option on a team with one of the worst pass rates in the National Football League. If they have their way, they will run it 50 times a game. If their defense holds up and allows them to do that, that's what they will do. And I don't necessarily see that changing in the next couple of years, especially if they sign Lamar Jackson to that big extension that he's angling for. You know, he's going to maybe try to get that Baker Mayfield money a couple years, you know, before his contract is due, or the Josh Allen money. I'm sorry. Baker Mayfield's trying to get the Josh Allen money too. Yes. Yeah, I apologize. Yeah. But anyway, so for those reasons, team context completely ruined it for me. I'll go to the next one by draft order. And the next one I evaluated was Rondale Moore. Here's an interesting one. He's also a little bit further down the depth chart, but I trust the offense a bit more. And also, you know, if you go to Arizona, you look at the guys in front of him, pretty shaky injury history here, right? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins has been steady, but Christian Kirk's been injured off and on. AJ Green is a guaranteed walking injury every single year. So I don't necessarily worry so much about him being fourth on the depth chart, but you know, what did worry me necessarily was the fact that the stature, he is listed as 5'7", 181 pounds, and that would be, if he can succeed in this league, that would make him a pretty big outlier in terms of guys that are, that are able to succeed, even at the slot receiver position. And listen, some of that is coming true to some degree here. He's not on the field for last week's practices for undisclosed reasons. He departed practice last Thursday due to a precautionary issue. I don't think was going to return value early. And I don't think that he's necessarily physically ready to hold up to the NFL. Of course, he could prove me wrong very much, but I wasn't ready to use that pick on him, which brings me to Terrence Marshall with a guy that I did take, Terrace Marshall, round 259 overall to the Panthers. I saw this as an immediate advancement opportunity to sneak in and be the wide receiver 3. Robbie Anderson is going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year, and DJ Moore is only signed for 1 year after. And in that year after, in 2022, DJ Moore would be an $11.1 million cap hit, I believe. I saw Terrace Marshall stepping in to Curtis Samuel's role as a slot receiver. Now, the other question is, of course, they fall number 3 if you rank all these teams' quarterbacks here. But you know how I feel about Sam Darnold. I think he's a slightly underrated quarterback that's had to deal with horrible, horrible situations for his time in this league. So I think we can see improvement at the quarterback position. I think there's a room to advance Terrace Marshall in to be fantasy relevant this season, and then he's set up for the long term with how that position group looks. So that's the move that I ended up making over Bateman, and I'm feeling good about it now, but at the time it was a much tougher decision.
Yeah, and again, Terrace is looking pretty darn good in Panthers camp right now. He's almost guaranteed the spot as the slot wide receiver for the Panthers, and say what you will about that offense, or Sam Darnold in particular, I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities, even with CMC back, for the Panthers to be passing often. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, both were 1,000-yard receivers last season. Maybe that workload gets cut a little bit with Terrace being an effective guy. And in your position as somebody that's trying to defend his reigning championship, I think that's the one that becomes the most immediate play. I still believe Bateman has the highest upside, but I would go Bateman, Terrace, and then Rondale in your situation in the most. That's how I'd rank it from a keeper and dynasty perspective. If you have any keeper or dynasty questions, certainly feel free to reach out to either Jake or I. That's probably two of our, I mean, that is our favorite, like the football, I would say fantasy football playing ways. I wanted to say auction leagues too, but like, that's different. We both play plenty of keeper and dynasties.
Yeah,
you talk about your crappy keeper league all the time. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, the league that I'm referring to is a dynasty draft where, I mean, you're taking Terrace Marshall 14 overall because it's a rookie free agent draft, right? Whole different setup than you keep two guys and carry them over year to year. You know, we're keeping our entire roster indefinitely. Joe, you're excellent. You play in the dynasty owner league. You've played not no leagues. You know all about this stuff. If you ask me the question on Twitter, I'll give you an answer, but it's most likely going to be me looking at Mario Puig's work in dynasty, his rankings, his articles, because he puts out some of the best NFL dynasty contact out there on the internet, period. So, I'll use that to give you a good answer here.
I agree. We'll have to skip your last dilemma and go over to a bit more of the auto, or sorry, not the auto, but the NFFC draft that I did. I do want to get a word from our sponsors, the from AutoNew first before we do that.
I just plugged them, so there we go.
Yeah, there you go. AutoNew Fantasy Football League lets you build your fantasy football dynasty like a real GM. It's a better fantasy football format, auction-based, deep rosters, and you can get college player prospects. You can stash the next rookie of the year while he's still tearing up on Saturdays, or you can trade for superstars to make a championship push. Develop a team over multiple years. Play against the best fantasy football competition on the internet. Visit OTTONEU.com today to get into the AutoNew Fantasy Football Leagues. They are one of my favorite formats out there. I think they're incredibly underrated. I know they're a sponsor for us, but even if we weren't working with them, I'd be gladly playing those. I'm in two different leagues now. I like the auction format. I like the fact that you can bid on college players, and there's a lot more strategy involved with a combination of those than I see elsewhere in fantasy football. So if you really are looking for a different challenge, I would recommend the guys over at OTTONEU, AutoNew.com. And then we also have a word from our sponsors, Quick Blue Wire.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we're back from the show here. Rounding things out last 5-10 minutes or so, I did because I teased. It's only because, Jake, I teased it so well that we had so many people on Twitter asking what the NFFC draft looked like that I feel like we have to spend a little bit of time talking about.
Yes, hopefully
I will have a chance to write my article tonight. My plan was to do it last night right after the draft was fresh. And then we had solo parenting duties for basically all of last night and into this morning, too. So it was a little bit of the struggle with the 5-week-old baby, but we made it through. It was interesting. So the reason why I thought the first round in particular was crazy, I had the number 2 pick again in the NFFC format. You can choose where you want to pick. And I was lucky to get number 2. In hindsight, I would have rather had the back end of the first round, that 10, 11, 12 range, because of that third round reversal. I think that ended up playing a part in some of these people's drafts. And in fact, either we have people listening or follow me on Twitter right now that were a part of it. And I'll be curious if you guys listen to the show afterwards to kind of give me your strategy or what was your reasoning behind some of the picks. But the head scratcher immediately started with number 3 pick ended up being Travis Kelce. Christian McCaffrey, Delvin Cook, number 1 and 2, no problem. But Kelce at number 3 might be one of the highest NFFC picks I have ever seen for him. That's stunning to me.
Yeah, that's a little bit stunning for me. We were talking about this before the show. For me, the first 3 picks in just about any single draft, at least with any PPR component, you go McCaffrey, Cook, and Kamara. I think that's about set in stone. You could probably talk me in to Derrick Henry at number 3 if it is a complete 0 PPR format. I can live with that, okay? So I think those first 3 picks are set. Then after that, if you wanted to sneak Davante Adams or Travis Kelce into that, I'd at least hear your argument. I would probably prefer Nick Chubb if I'm making that pick there. But those guys do start to come into play here. And given what you told me about the tight end discount kind of in the NFFC, I was a little bit surprised to see that happen go so early. And then that throws off the entirety of the first round.
And it really did. I think I honestly believe, again, there was people that were participating in this league that are following me on Twitter right now. This was a Beat Joe Bartle league, so I assume some people were looking forward to that challenge. Mm-hmm. You guys weigh in. I was thrown off, and I had already made my pick. Like, I wasn't going to make it for another 10 minutes or so at the back end of the second round. But Kelsey, number three, immediately followed into Aaron Jones at number four. Again, Ezekiel Elliott, Kamara, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams are all available. And Aaron Jones goes number four. And I get it. If you are an Aaron Jones stan, you really like Aaron Jones, if you have the number four pick, you're not going to be able to get him. I mean, he's not making it back to the second round, so you might as well do it now. But that felt aggressively high to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit high, but it also comes into the philosophy of you're going to go and get your guy, right? Because we all like Aaron Jones enough that, you know, if you're fourth overall and you're coming back here in this draft, you're not going to get Aaron Jones. I don't think you're really shaking the dice. And this way you make sure you get your guy and you're happy with it. Now, Aaron Jones has been consistently a top producer under Aaron Rodgers. He's completely underrated. He's been such a good part of this offense. And you lose, what, like 130 touches or something along those lines from Jamal Williams last year? I didn't look it up.
Which
I just kind of
spitballed. AJ Dillon probably takes.
I mean, AJ Dillon takes some of them, but you think AJ Dillon's going to take all of them, especially the passes caught?
I think you can make a one-to-one comparison that AJ Dillon takes at least the snaps. Now, does that workload get funneled into a Randall Cobb instead of something like that? I don't know.
But my theory is he'll take the snaps, maybe 100% of the snaps left behind, but I don't think it's going to be 100% of the touches. So anyway, we can.
Yeah, but Aaron Jones can't get the touches if AJ Dillon is taking all the Jamal Williams snaps.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I think we're going to see a lot of Aaron Jones this year. This is, you know, Matt LaFleur wants to run the ball. We're going to see a lot of Aaron Jones. This offensive line looks good. They got their Lindsay replacement stepping in at center. You know, another rookie, but he's been awesome in camp. Anyway, we can talk about Packers running backs for days, but let's go ahead and run through the rest of this draft, because in my eyes, Kamara is a pretty obvious choice at three. That's what the ADP says, and I'm in agreement with it. But he didn't go five, and then he didn't go six either. No.
He went number seven. I mean, I couldn't imagine if I had the number seven spot, which I believe, and I will still stand to this, probably at the end of August, that 7-8 range, if you're in a normal draft, is the worst spot to be in. Mm-hmm. Because you have to decide between, do I want to take a wide receiver like Killer Adams if they're left, which is probably yes. Do I want to dip into the Austin Ekeler range or Saquon Barkley range or Nick Chubb range? Well, I don't know. I mean, they're all kind of a step down. There's so many question marks that happens in that 7 and 8 spot. And to be gifted Alvin Kamara at that point, and I'm lower on Kamara the most, that's still stunning to me. Like, literally just walking into a gold mine, I felt like a pick seven. Yeah.
No, excuse my head creeping up to the screen here. I'm trying to see this this blurry screenshot we're dealing with. But number seven, I just looked at his team, like his first four picks at least. He's got the best team in this draft by a mile here. He gets Kamara, then he gets AJ Brown, then he gets Darren Waller going in, you know, my get one of your three tight end philosophies. And then he gets Deontay Johnson, who I absolutely love this year. Deontay Johnson is somebody who we skipped over my third dilemma in the interest of time, but he was the easiest part of that pick two out of three dilemma here. He's going to be a target monster. There were a few drop concerns last year. That can all be fixed. His routes are pristine. He gets open. He will be thrown to so many times. I'm not worried about Juju coming back. I'm not Clay. You know, with you take out some of those Claypool big games, and you know, he was just kind of average the rest of those weeks. Deontay Johnson is the wide receiver to own in Pittsburgh, and I'm happy to take him in the fourth round. I ended up taking him in the back end of the fourth round, but I took him at the last pick of the fourth round, or I guess you could say interchangeable with the first pick of the fifth round. I'm very, very pleased to get him in that area.
I got so excited about you talking about Deontay Johnson. I just had to punch my mic. There's no reason to throw hands up in the air. Mm-hmm.
I know I'm in that media room, I'm always adjusting the mic here. I fidgeted. It like fell off once, and now I'm paranoid about it, and I'm always going like this. Yeah. This one's not on a crane. It's on the ground, so we're good to go.
I differ on Deontay Johnson, but that's probably a different podcast. Maybe the guys that we differ the most could be a great theme for future weeks as we kind of struggle through the rest of this preseason.
I rostered him last year in this exact format, and he was so productive down the stretch. I fell in love.
Okay. All right. Well, just an overall for the NFFC, and again, I'm hoping to have this article up tonight on the site. I think it'll be free. At least there shouldn't be a paywall for it. And, you know, I'm not a cool enough writer to have paywall stuff. The strategy.
I'll fix it for you if it isn't.
Good. Thank you. It was tough because I thought a lot of people went wide receiver heavy. In fact, both teams 8 and 9 took three wide receivers each to start their drafts. A number of different teams, those middle portions, took either three of their first four picks were wide receiver or four just outright. So I thought, okay, if I see that, the natural thing is to zig when somebody else is zagging. So that was the reason why I took David Montgomery as my fourth pick and my third running back. George Kittle was in the third round, fine enough. Really, that the issue that I feel like I'm going to be frustrated with, or I don't know, I actually might be talking myself into it more as we talk, is Kyle Pitts in round six. That made two tight ends. This is not a super flex league. You do have a flex. A tight end can fit that spot. But especially with my need at wide receiver, that was like a weird turn for me. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel like Kyle Pitts, when he's being drafted in rounds four and five, is overvalued. At round six, that was the best value to me because afterwards it's Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, Elijah Moore, Jarvis Landry. Those were the wide receivers taken. As much as I need a wide receiver, I'm passing on that.
I imagine if you knew you could get Pitts in round six, you would have taken Godwin in round three, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, there was no reason to assume that suspect was going to
happen. Yeah, no, exactly. You're going to have a tough – and then you had Thielen. Was that maybe a panic pick in round five? Like, oh, shoot, I need a receiver?
No, it wasn't a panic. It was more of a, fuck. You know, like, maybe I can't even say that. I was like, oh, darn, I didn't want to make that pick overall. And then – I guess I'll have to go ahead and do it because we need wide receivers. And again, he is also refusing the vaccine, which makes me a little bit worried in the same vein.
I don't mind DJ Shark in round seven. So you built a couple. You rebounded. Okay. And then you kind of went quantity over quality the rest of the way out.
Yeah. And I like, there's a lot of value, whether it be John Brown, Tyrell Williams, who's going to be my guy that I roster in probably 100% of the leagues right now, and Christian Kirk. There's value at wide receiver later on. And that made me more comfortable taking those three.
Valdez Scantling at the end.
Yeah, I had, you know, that was a total.
They're loving his hands this year. They're loving his hands this year.
It's going to be interesting. My wife asked me, this is my third time now doing one of these Beat Joe Bartle leagues. How did you feel about your draft? And most of the times I have to be like, oh, you know, I made a mistake. I remember very distinctively my first year, I had Lamar Jackson queued up. The auto draft was going to be taking somebody else. There was no reason they're going to go another quarterback. So I had Lamar Jackson next to go. And for some reason, the team right before me, who was on auto draft, took him. And that was, of course, his MVP year. I always wonder, would have things changed money-wise if I had made that selection? I think
that's like a main event kind of move. That really elevates the team to a new. Yeah, we talked about this in our quarterback, or when we were doing draft tips a couple weeks ago. You know, to win your league, the league-winning move isn't to take a quarterback in the top three rounds. The league-winning move is to find the guy in rounds 8, 9, and 10 that's going to finish in the top of fantasy scoring. Because I'll remind everybody one more time, we'll just preach here a little bit, that in the last 3 years, the top overall scorer has not come from the top 10 in ADP.
Yeah, I agree. And again, Russell Wilson in round eight, I think that was an exaggerated situation.
I can't even get him in round six. I'm about to take Justin Herbert. I'm on the clock here.
But Trevor Lawrence in round 11 too. I think those are tremendous values that you have. I don't know. This will be one of those, I have to make a lot of right moves throughout the season, but I do think there's depth in places that I never really had before at tight end, at running back. It'll be a league that I'm going to be very interested to follow. And, you know, hopefully good things will happen. We can be in the money for this, and less people will get free RotoWire subscriptions because that's how it goes in these beat
giving AJ members. the hassle of customer service over there. No, you can't win a league on draft night. You certainly can lose a league on draft night. I don't think you did enough to lose it. So I'll give you that.
Thanks, Jake.
I'll give you that much.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have a lot more drafts yet to come. Obviously, the stake league for RotoWire is a huge thing in the industry. I feel like a lot of people follow along with that. And I'm excited for last year. We got to break that news right afterwards. We did the podcast for it. I don't think it's going to shake out this way the same way. But I know we have a few leagues that we could kind of double back on in future podcasts and at least give you guys a bit of an ADP, or at least why we chose to go this way. And here's our thought process, but that'll probably do it for the here's our drafts and what happened in them kind of podcast show as we meander through the rest of the preseason, you know, editions of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And before they do the cutoff for underdog best ball leagues, I still want to get one of those going with you guys and the listeners. So I'm going to try to get that going. Well, I should be able to do that tomorrow or Thursday. So stay tuned.
Oh, you're going to just exclude me? Wow.
No, I said you and the listeners. I'm going to try to get a league going where
you just want to actually
and
win.
I'll tweet the link and, you know, after watching the NFFC draft, I see an easy mark here. So let's go.
Awesome. All right. Well, again, guys, check out rotowire.com/try to get a 10-day free trial to the site. Of course, you get the software that can download for your drafts. You have your rankings already set up. And if you're not even interested in fantasy football, why are you listening to the show? First off, okay, fine. You like us. That's
you
cool. Like,
you love this beard. That's
exactly,
why.
That's
this
it.
This beard, I mean, and the shiny head. That's the reason.
Or you can just go on our NBA coverage, our baseball coverage, anything else. You know, we're company people all around. So thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We'll see you guys again next week.